All right. So first of all, I just wanted to apologize about my voice. I'm just a little bit under the weather. All right, so now we're embarking upon the topic of Mishpatei Hatanaim. So Mishpatei Hatanaim are the rules concerning the valid stipulation of a Tanai. They're in general understood to be derived from Parshanei Gavra Neruvin, although there's some questions about that with regard to particular ones here and there. And in general, they can be broken down into three categories. Most concern how one needs to formulate a Tanai. So Tanai Kaful, Hein Kodim Lav, Tanai Kodim L'Maisa. That's one group. Then you have the second, which concerns the content. What can you be told upon? So, Masa Mashakas B'Torah, Tanai Shef Shalakaimo, Tanai Masa B'Devarecha, these concern what your Tanai can be. And then you have, sort of its own class, the din of Isa B'Shlichus, Lesa B'Shlichus, which concerns the processes which are subject to Tanai. All right, so now we're going to discuss these Mishpatei Hatanaim, these rules. First, we'll just discuss quickly whether we have such rules. Let's see, that's a machlokes. Second, I'll just reiterate something.
What's the third group again?
It's a group of one. It consists of milsa de isa b'shlichus, the need for it to be, and it relates to what kind of processes are subject to Tanai. So the rule is, this is what we did in Haktama, in Ksuvos and Aindalat, but it needs to be something which is milsa de isa b'shlichus. Only that thing is subject to Tanai. We'll get to it again. So first we're just going to discuss whether we have such rules. Second, we're going to discuss the function of the Mishpatei Hatanaim briefly, and then we'll get to the major part of this next stage of our limud of the perek, which is the scope of their requirement. When do we need to stipulate a Tanai, Mishpatei Hatanaim, and when don't we? We'll see that there are a lot of opinions in Rishonim that limit this in one way or another. All right, so starting with the first question, just do we even have such rules? So regarding Tanai Kaful, it's a Mishnah in our perek on Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. Notes, this is Machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. Rabbi Meir Omer kol Tanai, Hashem ki Tanai b'nei Gadu b'nei Ruvain, eno Tanai, shenemar v'yomar le'em v'chulei v'chulei. So it's im yavru v'im lo yavru. So this is speaking, in this case, the Mishnah, he has a very general formulation, kol Tanai shen ki Tanai b'nei Gadu b'nei Ruvain, but the specific rule he points to is what's known as Tanai Kaful. And Chanina ben Gamliel disagrees. Why does he disagree? So his argument in the Mishnah is, that there's actually a need. It's not that Moshe Rabbeinu was formulating it because that's the, you need to conform to the rules of Mishpatei Hatanaim, else you would not have had it tonight. No, rather, you needed it substantively here to communicate information you wouldn't have known otherwise. Specifically that, had Moshe Rabbeinu, let's say, just said, if you come across the Yardin, if you fight with us, then you can actually inherit the land of Eber Yardin. If he had said that, and that alone, so you would have understood that that they're inheriting, or they're being koned the karka of Eber Yarden was al Tanai, that wouldn't have been a problem. You would have understood it, and that would have been chal. The problem is that you just wouldn't have known. What would you have thought? If you don't, so would have thought that, all right, if you don't, you lose out on everything. You get nothing anywhere. So for that, he wanted to be clear that the question isn't whether or not you're going to be getting land at all. The question is just whether or not you're going to get Eber Yarden, or your regular chelik in Eretz Yisrael. If you don't come, you're going to get your regular chelik in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what it was. Moshe Rabbeinu was communicating. If not for that, I would have thought that if you don't come over, so you don't get the land in Eber Yarden, you also don't get anything in Eretz Canaan. So just to explain that, that's why Sarach Adav L'Amro, Moshe Rabbeinu said the law, but not that you actually need it. All right, so that's what you find in the Mishnah. Now, Rashi here thinks that this argument between Rechanina ben Gamliel and the Tanakhama in Rabbi Meir, rather, is limited to Tanai Kaful. That even Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel agrees that you need the rest of Mishpatei Hatanaim. Tosfos points out that this is problematic, given that the Gemara in Bava Metzia is explicit. You can understand some other Gemaras differently, but the Gemara in Bava Metzia and Sadi Dalan Aleph says explicitly, in the context of the discussion of Tanai Kodim L'Maisa, says that who is it that holds this opinion that you need Tanai Kodim L'Maisa? This is Rabbi Meir. So it seems clear that Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel is arguing not just on Tanai Kaful, he doesn't agree with a much broader range. We'll get to that in a second. But the Chachamim, including Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, don't agree on other ones as well. Now, the answer for Rashi clearly is what the Rishonim here explained, which is that there are three opinions according to Rashi. There's Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel and Rabbi Meir, then there's also the Chachamim. Rabbi Chanina Gamliel is arguing about Tanai Kafel. He agrees, he's basically on Meir's side, he just happens to think that you don't need Tanai Kafel. But there is another opinion that holds that you don't need beyond Tanai Kafel. Yeah?
According to Chanina Gamliel, if you, what does it mean that you need the Hain Kodem Lalav? What's the...
Right,
if you haven't included...
Yeah, so the simple thing to think is that if you don't require Tanai Kafel, since there's nothing to discuss about Hain Kodem Lalav, I think what you would say is that if you were to say it, you would need the Hain Kodem Lalav.
Yeah. Even though like it's just not necessary
what?
To say
it. It's not necessary to say both, but you have if you're going to say both, say it this way. You don't have to say both, but what the first thing you say needs to be the Hain. You don't have to say the Lav. But the point is, if you're going to say the Lav, it's got to be Hain Kodem Lav. Okay. So it's clear everybody agrees that there are Chachamim who don't agree with Rabbi Meir regarding more than just Tanai Kafel. And the truth is, Rashi has major advantage is that the Gemara seems to hint that the basis for the Machlokes at Tanai Kafel seems to be rooted on a different principle, or at least it seems to be related to a different principle, Michal Lav at the Shemahain or not. So that's something which is unique to Tanai Kafel, doesn't have application beyond that. So that's what they're arguing about, that would seem to be limited to just Tanai Kafel. We'll get to that when we get there. Either way, everybody acknowledges there are Chachamim who don't agree with Rabbi Meir about Mishnah Tanai beyond just Tanai Kafel. Now, there are disagreements in Rishonim about whether or not there are any particular Mishnah Tanai which are conceded by all, including the Chachamim. Most think, for instance, that Isa B'Shlichus is in fact accepted by all. Not everybody agrees with this, but almost all. Think that the need for it to be Isa B'Shlichus, that's something that is L'chulei Amma. Others think that maybe some of the other ones as well. We'll get to them when we get to the individual ones. But either way, in general, these are what we refer to as Mishnah Tanaim. There's Machlokas or Meir regarding Mishnah Tanaim. We're referring to the Machlokas of the Chachamim, whether or not Nina B'Gamliel is part of that, but the Chachamim or Meir about the general need for the great majority, at the very least. Okay. That's in terms of just whether or not we have such a dinim. Now, according to those who hold that we do have such a dinim, Rabbi Meir, what is their function? Why do you need them? So here, we've already seen this, and I'll just reiterate it now before we get to the question that we're going to spend most of our time on, which is the parameters of Mishpatei Tanaim. Here, we saw the Rishonim discuss this when they were discussing why is it that where you need Mishpatei Tanaim and you fail to formulate it properly, the din is Maisekayim. So in that context, we saw Rishonim give an insight into how they understood what they understood to be the purpose of the Mishpatei Tanaim, the function of Mishpatei Tanaim. One explanation, one direction to go, is to understand that the requirement to conform to these rules has to do with the need to indicate your seriousness. That it's not just chitter-chatter, the time of the transaction. You're not just expressing your wishes, your hopes, your encouragements to have this, you know, want this condition fulfilled. You do want it to be fulfilled. But you actually really mean to be tole the ASEC, right? The transaction, whatever legal act we're speaking of, you mean to be tole it on that. You don't want it to be accomplished without it. You don't want it to occur unless it happens. You want it to be chal only pending the fulfillment of the condition. So if you really mean that, you need to tell us this way. That's the purpose of the Mishpatei Tanaim. And the way that this is formulated in the Gemara and Rishonim is that otherwise we assume Eino Elek Kimafliga Batvar. The Gemara says this explicitly with regard to one of them, Gemara in Gittin, which we saw at the time when we discussed this. Gemara in Gittin, Pei Dalet, discusses the rule, the klal, that it needs to be a Tanai She'efshar L'kayma, that you can actually fulfill. As opposed to, let's say, walking on water, Amanasha Tavriya Seyamagadal Boraglaich, Amanasha Tivlai Kana Shabdal Ramos. So these are things which cannot be done, they're physically impossible. So Gemara says, if that's what you're told on, then it's going to be Maisekayim regardless. Right? This is one of the Mishnah tonight. Why is that? So the Gemara itself says, because Einu Elokim Mafliga B'Dvarim Mikasher. You're just running your mouth, you're just chattering. So, we saw there Ben Tam expands that beyond just what the Gemara says. He thinks that's the basis, that's the explanation why there's a klal mas mashakas b'Torah. The Tanai has to be, in terms of the content, something which is not a violation of the Torah, let's say. Because also, if it's otherwise, then it's kimaf ligu advarim. And then you find Ben Tam himself, as far as we know, he was just expanding it to the mas mashakas b'Torah, but you find other Rishonim, either within Ben Tam or on their own, taking it beyond that. The Ramban says that, according to Ben Tam, this is going to be the explanation for all of Mishpatei Tanaim. This is the Ramban of Basra, as we mentioned then, that the kol tanai she'ein shelo kodem lav, tanai kodem l'maisa, tanai d'varecha, v'maisa d'varacher, v'hani taima mishim d'lo asne kidinei, If you did it that way, then it's just you're just chattering. You're just maybe expressing hopes, wishes, maybe, but nothing more. And the Meiri we mentioned, Meiri takes his view as well in the Mishnah here. He says that all of them are essentially based on the idea that otherwise we just take it as being, you know, derech azhara v'he'ara. Just encouraging us, you're going to do it either way, you don't really mean it. You're just trying to, you also want this condition to be fulfilled, you want to get something out of it in a sense. But you're not really actually taking it seriously that you want it to be taluy upon the Tanai. So that's one direction to go. And the alternative is probably the more prevalent one in Rishonim, which is what you find expressed in the Re and the Rush, rooted in the assumption, that we discussed somewhat extensively and we'll get to again, that the ability for a Tanai to preclude the chalos of the Maisa pending fulfillment of the condition, to have it be totally upon it, the condition, in other words, the ability to block it from being chal when the condition isn't fulfilled, that is a chiddush HaTorah. We would not have known that if not for the parsha of Negar B'nei Ruvim, A. And then B, to implement that chiddush, you need to use the Mishpatei Tanaim. The function of the Mishpatei Tanaim is to implement the chiddush. That's what they're there for. You want to have access to what the Torah is Mechadish, right? To be able to have the Maisa be totally upon the fulfillment of the condition. For that, you need to do it like it was Nisadish in the Torah. In terms of how to understand that, so I mentioned at the time that the Rush really does say in the Tshuva, in Lamed Hei Tes, that it's a kind of an Ein L'Chabala Chidusha. We'll see Rishonim give substantive reasons for each of them, that actually implementing that Chidush, the way you formulate it really does matter. And, you know, it's designed, the idea of the formulation is designed to do that. It's not just that it happened to be that this is the way that Moshe Rabbeinu did it, and since it's such a Chidush, we can't go outside of the safety zone, you know, that Moshe Rabbeinu himself did. It's that actually the reason Moshe Rabbeinu did it is because that's the way it has to happen. Okay. That's just a chazara in a sense. And now we get to the question, the parameters. Where do we need Mishpatei Tanaim? So here you find six or seven different suggestions in Rishonim, different positions in Rishonim about chilukim, when do you need to have Mishpatei Tanaim and when don't you? When will the din be that, even without stating it, Mishpatei Tanaim? The mice depends upon the fulfillment of the condition, and each of them is a sugyan in its own right, and a large sugyan in its own right. And the first one of these is what we'll start with today, and that is the sheet that you find in the Gonim, which is that there's a chiluk between a Tanai of Im and a Tanai of Me'achshav. And Almanas, if you hold that Almanas is Me'achshav. This is how, there's a line in the Ramban, I think, in his Chidushim in Gittin, on Hamid Beis, where he considers maybe the Rif didn't mean to be Mechalak to Me'achshav at all in Im, but rather just the Lashon of Almanas. But it's clear in the Rif that isn't the case. Nobody else takes it like that, and the Ramban himself doesn't. There's a chiluk between a Tanai which is Chal Mafreya, once the conditions are filled. It's Chal Mafreya, Mishasa Maisa. Let's say, Hareya Mekudesh is the Intitinli Mazhaim Zuz. I'm sorry, Intitinli Mazhaim Zuz. Since we're doing it, Mishpatei Tanaim, might as well get them all right, right? Intitinli Mazhaim Zuz. Hareya Mekudesh is Li Me'achshav. Vimlo, Titinli Mazhaim Zuz, Iyan Mekudesh is Li. So that's the formulation of the Tanai Me'achshav. If you say Me'achshav, once the condition is fulfilled, it's going to be Miskadeshes Mafreya Mishasa Maisa, as opposed to a Tanai of Im, where I say Im Titnili Masam Zuz Hareya Mekudeshesli Vimlo, etc. Where I don't say Me'achshav, so there the Chalos upon fulfillment of the condition is going to be from the point of the fulfillment of the condition. And then in our Gemara you have the Machlokes. This is on Daf. And Samach Amin Aleph, and it has a parallel in Gittin 9 Dalet Amin Aleph. You have the machlokas about whether or not Amanas, just the Lashon of Amanas, for the sake of, right, or on the condition of. That Lashon of Amanas, is that to be understood as a Me'achshav Lashon or as an Im? We pass in Amanas Me'achshav, so that in the end, according to the Yisrashonim, Amanas and Me'achshav, either of them, do not require Mishpatei Tanaim, I mean, Im does. So this is the position that you find first articulated. It's attributed by all Shonter of Hagon. I'm going to actually track it down in the Tshuvas Hagaonim Achadashos Sim Kufnim Gimel, which is attributed to Rav Hagon, where he says Kach Ra'inu. I think this is what the Rishonim, some of them call it the Gilyonos of Rav Hagon. This is what they were looking at. Kach Ra'inu Kilo Kol Tanaim Tzrichin Lios Kfulin El Halacha Ravachasi Ki Kodavar Shekiblu Adam Bein Hakna Bein Kedushim Bein Gin Amanas Tanai Eino Tzarich Kfela Bein Tzafek El Balashonim. The whole issue. So here we saw an only Tanai couple. We'll see. The Rishonim understood this to be broader. That the whole question of the need for it, not the need for it, that's all something which is true of Im, but Amanas, you don't need it. Okay? This is, as well, the Shita of the Rif. The Rif was asked, Al Elu HaTanayim, Shein Begitin, Kigon Tanai Kofu, V'chule, V'chule, all these Mishpatei HaTanayim, do you need all these? So the Rif at the end says here, there's another significant, as the Rishonim pointed out, they say that he saw this shuv of the Rif, and he has two, you know, bombshell chidushim. So the other one is that maybe there's a chiluk between tchumim, between gin mikdushin and mamonos. We'll get to that extensively as well. But the one we're focusing on now is just the last one here. He says aval amanas no eg bein b'isur bein b'mamona, meaning you don't need mishdei tanaim for a tanaim amanas bein b'isur bein b'mamona, regardless of where you have it. Shekola omer amanas kamer meach shadami ve'ein tzrichim imal lechalat tanaim ha'elu. You don't need it for the tanaim which is chalam afreya, the tanaim amanas. The Rif likewise in Gittin Paskins this in Gittin Lamed Zayin Amud Beis V'Dapav says Va'af Agav the Kaimelon to be in a Tanai Kafuol Hani Milei the Im to Shamshi and Lo to Shamshi Kedinyan Chenemar Im Yabru Im Lo Yabru, like the pasuk says. Okay, we could that can Shem Uvagita the Shemira Avav Ba'Almanas Lo the Kaimelon the whole Almanas Ke Omer Me'Achshad Dami. Now the truth is, if you had that lashon the Kaimelon, so then you could just understand that's a separate point. This is where their man got it from. Maybe the Rif's point isn't that there's a chiluk between Tanai, which is Chal, Mishas, Hamaisa, versus Mishas, the Kiyum Tanai, but rather maybe it's just a question of the Lashon of Amanas, because he didn't say the reason that Amanas is different is because Kol Omer Amanas Kol Omer Me'achshav. He just seems to be mentioning a separate point. But all the other Rishonim in the Rav Haigon, and actually the Rif in Siman Lamed Aleph, in his Chuvos, they make it clear that the reason is because it's Kol Omer Me'achshav. It's not that this is just a separate point. That's the reason. So it's a chiluk between Tanai de Me'achshav, Tanai de. And the Rambam paskins this way as well. The Rambam in Hilchos Yishus Perek the Halachi Zayin. So the Rambam paskins that Kol Omer Me'achshav Inu Tzarich Lichvol Tanao the Lo Hakdin Hatanai the Ma'isa Elo Avav Bishehikdim Ma'isa Tanai Kayim. He doesn't mention other things. He in general only enumerated four. It's a question then of all the ones he didn't enumerate. Does he not paskin them, or is he just not for some reason mentioning it? For instance, Tanai Ma'isa V'Derecha, he doesn't mention, we'll see. But either way, the two of the four that he mentioned, he thinks you do not need. Hein Kodem Lav, I think probably the reason he doesn't mention here is only because if you don't have Tanai Kofel, then there's no need to say the Hein Kodem Lav. But we'll come back to whether or not if you did just say a Lav, what would that mean? But he says about tzarich lahasnas v'davar shev shalakayim v'davar shev shalakayim. You do need. Why? Because if you're masna davar shev shalakayim, so that's kamafa b'dvarim. Okay. But and he repeats kol omer amanas kol omer me'achshav v'inu tzarich chivul atnai v'lakim l'maisa. All right. So where did they get this from? Pretty mechudosh. So it's clear. Actually, Rav Haigon himself explains it. The Rishonim, the Ramban, just figured it out. I think that this is where they got it from. It's quite likely they got it from the Gemara in Gittin Ayin Hey. This is not the major question. The major question we're going to have to come to is just how do we understand this, right? But first, just where do they get it from, in terms of the Gemaras? So it's pretty clear that the crucial Gemara here is the Sugya in Gittin on Ayin Hey Med Aleph, in Ayin Hey Med Beis, where the Gemara cites the Brisa of Hareza Gitech V'Hanir Shali Inim Gureshes. So you keep the Niyar to yourself, that's no good, you need to be Maknet to her. Then it says, or at least, you can't say it that way. Amenashe techzir li esanir, that's mgureshes. That works. Now, the way that the Gemara understood initially, was it's mgureshes midin that the tanai is batal. I mean, there is no tanai. It's just a regular din gerishim. Okay? So why is that? Why is that the case that the seifa here is chal regardless? That's the Gemara's question. So the Abai, you have different kintas. Abai says we're dealing with Rabbi Meir. How many Rabbi Meir here? And the problem is that Rabbi Meir holds you needed Tanai Kofel, and here you weren't Kofel the Tanai. And the Dinah of a case, this is where one of the Gemaras, which reflects the point that we've discussed, when you have a requirement to say the Tanai B'Mishmer they had Tanai, and you fail to do so, so the halach is going to be Maisakayim the Tanai Bata. So that's why here, in this case, Megureshes. Then Rava adds, even if you made the Tanai Kofel, even if you would have said it, you know, then it's not going to be a good gerushin. It would still be a get. Why? Because mitzvah called tanai mech germinan. He has another one here. You don't have tanai kodem ma'isa. Here the ma'isa was called in the tanai. You say harei zegitech. And really, what you should be saying is amenash shetachzir lisi etzaniar harei zegitech. So that's the problem. It's here. You have ma'isa kodem tanai. And that's the reason why it's not chal. Then you have another. Maybe it's because tanai ma'isa b'davar echad in this case. See how all these ukintos explain why it is that it's megureshes. And then you have Ravashi. Ravashi at the end there. This is on I think it's on Ayin Hey Med Beis now. Says hamani Rebbe. This Brisa is right that it's there's a get kusher. If you say Rezegitech, Amanasha, Nir Shali, that Migureshes, this is Lashidas Rebbe, who holds a Kol Omra Amanas, Kol Omra Me'ash Adani. Now, all the explanations of Rishon agree that what Ravashi is saying is that the Migureshes here does not mean that it's Migureshes regardless of the Kima Tanai. It means Migureshes, but yet it had to be Mikayim Tanai. In other words, it's Chal. The Tanai, the Maisa is Kayim, pending the Kima Tanai. Okay? That's as opposed to the ratio, which was talking about a case where the Nesina was no good. Here, it's fine. Here it is. It does work. Now, why do you say then if what we're saying is I'm not sure this in yard, this works that the mice is going to be totally on the Tanai here. It is a good Nesina, but it is you had to be in kind of Tanai. So the Gemara says, why is that true? Because we're dealing with Rebbe who holds Kol Amanas Kol Me'ash Adami. What's the connection? Why do we need to be saying that Amanas is Kim Me'ash Adami? Why couldn't this have worked if it were not for the fact that we said Kol Amanas Kol Me'ash Adami? So here you have two interpretations of Rishonim. Some understand that the reason is simply because if you were to have said that this Tanai is that Amanas is a Tanai of Im, so then you would have had a problem of essentially this, the equivalent of Niskara Haget or Neva, right? We definitely discussed this at the time. It comes up in our daf that there's an afkamina between a Tanai de Im and a Tanai de Me'akshav if the get is Niskara or Neva, right? If the get has been ripped up, there's no get anymore. So for a Tanai de Im where the Gerishin is only going to be Chal from the point of the Kima Tanai, so that's when the Gerishin is Chal, that's when it takes effect. You need to have the get be there, it needs to be Kayam in order for it to take effect. But when it comes to Tanai de Me'akshav, the Maisa has already taken place entirely. It's going to be Chal from that point. You don't need to have this is what the Gemara says, you don't need to have the get around at the Shas Kima Tanai. We'll get to understand that more later, but the basic idea is somewhat intuitive. So some Rishonim explain that why is it that it's necessary to say that this Shita, that Migureshes here, Migureshes al Tanai, in the case of Amanasha Takziruli Saniyar, specifically only because you hold that Amanasha Kimayash Adani, because otherwise you have a problem. If you're Machzir the Niyar, so that's equivalent of Niskara. You're giving it back, you don't have the get anymore, there's no get. Even though for Rabbi Shonim, they think that if you were to, let's say, have a Grishas or Rabbim, that would be fine, but if you actually return it, that won't be good. That's as if you're getting rid of, you're just ripping up the get. That's why you need to say Komer Mashiv. In which case, it doesn't really bear on our sugya. Other Rishonim, though, say otherwise. They say, no. This Shita, Ravashi, when he comes at the end here, he's accepting the Ukintas that everybody else made, namely that this is Beli, Felus of Tanai, this is Beli, Tanai Kab Maisa, etc., etc. This case really was without Mishrutei HaTanayim, and yet the whole thing works. It's Gerishin al Tanai. Ravashi interprets the Brisa differently. It's not Migureshes as a din of Tanai Batal, that the Tanai doesn't affect it at all. No. It means Migureshes al Tanai. Why? I thought we just said Rava and Abaye clarified this is without Mishrutei HaTanayim. The reason is because Rabbi holds Kol Omer Amanas, Kol Omer Me'akshav Dami. So that's just in terms of how they interpreted the Gemara. The Rabban and Rashi, they say, no. That's not what it means. This line of Ravashi is saying, no. Let's not make the Ukintas that you just made, that there's no Kfeilus Tanai, there's no... Well, we're assuming that it was made Kedine. It, therefore, it's a good get. It's Migureshes. Not Tanai. That's what the Brisa is saying. And it's just that you need to become the Tanai. But it has to be Rebbe, because otherwise the get's not there, B'shas Achalos. But these are shown the Rif, the Gaon, saying, no. Ravashi, he is interpreting the Brisa to me, saying it's a good Gerishin, but it's Al Tanai. But the point is, he's actually agreeing with the insistence, the Diuk, that we're dealing here without Mishnah Tanayim. And his explanation of it is, because we hold a Rebbe, that Kol Omer Amanas, Kol Omer Me'akshav Dami, therefore you don't need the Mishnah Tanayim. So that's pretty clear that this is where they got it from. All right, so that's just in terms of where they got it from. There are two issues, though, that come up. First, more technical, and then the second is going to be the major issue. The first is just textually. How does this work with what we find in Shas? That, in fact, we have Machlokes, Rabbi Meir, and the Rabbanan about Amanas cases. Right? You have it in the cases in the Gemara in Gittin, in Ein Dalet, speaks of a case of Amanas. So how can you say that? Right? This is the Ramban point. This is his first point in the Sefer Tzchus, in Gittin Lamed Ches Anaf in the Dabei Rif. He says, Harbei Amanas, V'chim Me'ashur, Shetzrichu Osan B'gemar, L'tanai Kaful. This is also the question the Iter raises. The Tmialan, Chad the Plukta de Rimei, Rebbechim Yamagam Leo, but Tanai Kaful, but Amanasu, B'kedushin. Right? Take a look at our very Mishnah. Amanas. Truth be told, the Mishnayos in general in this perek are all Amanas, but it doesn't say explicitly that was the case of Rabbi Meir, but he's just pointing out that why should you assume that otherwise? Also, the other Gemara say in the Gemara in Gittin that it's Amanas, Shittashamshi. So you just find it that Rabbi Meir in the Gemara really does think you need Tanai Kofel in these cases. So what are we talking about? You need Tanai in the cases. So here you have two answers to this point. One, which the Ravid in his Shua Sapsakim in Simchavav, so he suggests this. And the truth is that the Ravid, we'll get to there are two relevant Ravids, Chuvas Ravids. One is Simchavay in Chuvas Sapsakim, and the other is Simchavav. Simchavay is, he was of the opinion when he was, as he says, Binor Asai, when I was a nar, I was foolish, that I thought this sheet didn't make any sense. It was wrong. The riff, the Gonim, made no sense to me. I rejected it. Then he says, but then I realized that, you know, I came to see the wisdom of what they were saying. And you know, they're right. So this is in that tshuva, Simcha Vav, where he says that. He says, I used to also ask all these kashas too. But now I realize that these Amudi Ha'ra, you get a lot of praises for the Rif and the Gonim, precisely, interestingly enough, precisely when their Shita seemed to be so challenging. You find the Rishonim saying, this doesn't make sense, if not for the fact that, you know, the Or HaGola, they don't call them Or HaGola, but the, you know, that these that the Gaonim and the Rift, that the Torah says Kabbalah, I don't know, we could never have said this. But
how is our Mishnah Amanas?
What?
Our Mishnah Amanas.
That's what the Baal Eder says. So I think he's just assuming that you should just be reading all the Mishnahs together.
The
case is in the Mishnah, prior cases, Hamar Lisha Rayam Gesh the Amanash, I can laugh
all
the time. I'm just saying that's he happens to mention our Mishnah. You're right, as I just said, that in Mishnah Tzamach Aleph, they don't mention anything about Amanas, but I think it just means that it's in the context of the, if you just look at the context of the whole Perek, so it's coming on the heels of Amanas. Either way, it's in the Gemaras in Gittin, it's clear that there are Amanas cases that they're arguing about.
I mean, also, is that why Rashi would quote? He quotes a case of Amanas. Is that relevant? I mean, Rashi quotes a case of Amanas. Or is he the Amanas? Should do the examples?
Rashi where?
On Rishon and Samachal.
Yeah, again, that's the same issue. I mean, that's the issue. Is that he's just quoting? Meaning, you find it explicitly in the Gemara and Gittin. So I think that's just Rashi reflecting that. Okay. So what's the answer to this? So here you have two answers, two strategies you're trying to give. The Ravid says that. We pass like Rabbi Meir about this, about the need for Mishnah Tanaim. Rabbi Meir argues about cases of Amanas, but there happens to be disagreement about what? About the question of how do we interpret Amanas? Is Amanas Me'ashav? But everybody agrees, including Rabbi Meir, that Amanas, that Tanaim, that Achal Me'ashav, Lemafreya, don't require Mishpatei HaTanaim. It happens to be Rabbi Meir is always arguing that you need Mishnah Tanaim Amanas because he doesn't hold like Rabbi. He thinks that Amanas is Lavke Me'ashav. It's like him. So therefore, you need it. So we paskin against him regarding the question of Amanas is Kimeyachshav or not, but on the principle of what means Mishnei Tanaim, there we're fully with Rabbi Meir on this. That's the answer the Ravid gives. The Ramban anticipated it, rejected it, thinks that the Gemaras generally imply that everybody agrees to the principle of Kol Omer Amanas and Kol Omer Me'ashav. The other, I guess you could say, the other answer, or the other two actually, the Meiri mentions here in Kiddushin Samech Aleph, is two other things. He says either you can say maybe the Gemara wasn't Baba Diktuk. They just didn't bother to write exactly what the Tanai was formulated. But in fact, they really were arguing about cases of in. Even though it says the Gemara Amanas, lo Baba Diktuk. All right, that's a chiddush to say. The other answer that he gives is that Enochinami, Rabbi Meir, did not hold to this opinion. When they go to Paskin this way, they Paskin that you need Mishnah Tanai, but only for Im, not for Tanaim de Me'ashav, they're not paskening like Rabbi Meir. In a sense, we'll see that this is how someone understood other Chilukim too. They're paskening their own way. We paskening like Rabbi Meir regarding Tanaim de Im, and we paskening like the Chachamim regarding Tanaim de Me'ashav. So it's true that Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanim were arguing about Bein de Im, Bein de Almas Me'ashav, but we paskin Im requires Mishnah Tanaim. We paskin against Rabbi Meir regarding Amanas, it does not require Mishnah Tanaim. That's just in terms of textually. All right, but now we come to the major issue, and we'll just start it now. The major issue is, of course, well, how do we understand this? Why? What is the difference? What's the svara here? So, here you find there is a line that the Rosh Hashanah quote in the name of the Ravid, which addresses this precise issue. What's the reason for this? Why would we say this? But the line itself is hard to read. The way it's quoted in the Ramban especially, it's hard to read. It's not exactly clear what it means. If you actually look at the Ravid, I think there's no question, couldn't be clearer in the Ravid himself, in the Chuvos HaPsakim, and the Meiri makes it clear as well. But before we get there, at least, if you just take a look at the Ramban, it isn't clear at all what they're saying, what he's saying. The Ramban, again, quotes the Ravid as saying, who knows, the Ravid is no Saint Tam Devrayim, and Rosh Hashanah, when they come to try to explain this, I think they're citing the Ramban's formulation of this, because they just cited almost word for word. That the reason is the Tanai Da'amanas Hashem Yashav Kevin the Mehash the Chayil Maisa Betnai Chayil. It's not even clear where to put the commas, but Kevin Mehash the Chayil Maisa Betnai Chayil the Hashda Masne Imahu Val Tanai Deim Kevin the Tanai Balavatel Maisa Shelo Yachol Meata Im Bokoch Levatel Maisa Elmkin Kifelso. So the Rambam himself says, "All right, whatever." Says Ophelia yet Betam Zeh Mamisho Shayomar Tam Yafin Menu. Clearly, hoping that somebody would offer something a little bit better. He thinks there's a problem with the Gemara. Okay. What that means is not entirely clear. It's not even entirely clear how to read it. But it's clear, what I think is clear, is that the assumption here, we'll see this is true for almost everybody, is that the function of Mishnah Tanaim, indeed, the assumption is that why do you need Mishnah Tanaim, is for the implementing of the Chiddush to be Mevatel the Maisa. That's the reason you need it, just like the Reis says. And for some reason, okay, but for some reason you don't need this when it comes to Me'aksha. So what is the reason for this? We'll see the Rambam has a formulation too. So here, I think you have two directions, two approaches. One, which is the conventional one in the name of Rav Chaim. I heard it from Rav Lichtenstein originally. I think I also heard it from Rav Rosenzweig. But you can also find it in print in the Chiddush HaGrach, in the Chiddush HaGriz. It has an antecedent, actually. I said here in the Chasson Sofer. They give one explanation. I'm going to point out my issues with it and why I think it cannot be said with the Ravid for the Rambam at all, and offer a different one. But the first understanding, the first suggestion that we find it here is the understanding, as I say, in the name of Rav Chaim, which basically is as follows, that the way, what they argue is that regarding the question that we discussed last time, or last few times, how does Tanai work? On what basis is it true that you do the act and it's only chal, and particularly, why is it only chal in the event the condition is fulfilled? Why isn't it chal in the event the condition isn't fulfilled? Right. So we mentioned that there are two basic directions to take it. Either when you're being matil or Tanai, you're simply dictating the scope of your das, when it is that you're doing this for the sake of Kiddushin. I'm doing it on the sake of Kiddushin, but under these pretenses, under this assumption that it's going to be, you know, on this condition. In this situation where she ends up giving me 200 zuz, so then this is L'shem Kiddushin. It isn't L'shem Kiddushin, it's just a Pa'ula Ba'amo, not L'shem Kiddushin, in the event that she doesn't give me. I have no das for Kiddushin, I simply have no das for Kiddushin, for the Chalos HaKiddushin, in the event, in these circumstances. I don't want it, right? So you're defining the parameters of the Maisa being L'shem Kiddushin. That's what it is. It's a Gili Milsa about what you're thinking, if you will. That's one option, and the other is to understand that no, for whatever reason, I'll come back to it, we understand that you have das for the Kiddushin regardless. When you do that act, it's an act, L'shem Kiddushin, the act itself is not internally limited in any way. It's a full, regular, normal Maisa Kiddushin. Tanai, simply the ability to be tole that act's taking effect upon the condition of your choosing. You have a separate legal capacity to be tole completely, legitimately, fully normal Maisa Kiddushin, L'shem Kiddushin, upon some other condition of your choosing. So the way that Rav Chaim understood this, what they argue is that here we have a chiluk between Tanai D'Me'ashav and Tanai D'Im. The way that Tanai D'Me'ashav works is that it simply reveals and dictates the scope under what conditions you had das for Kiddushin when you did this Maisa. That's simply what it does. It just reveals, I'm doing it assuming this, right? I'm doing an act of Kiddushin if this happens, not if it doesn't happen. Then in that case, I have no das of Kiddushin. This is not an act of Kiddushin. And for that, if you're just simply revealing when you have das and when you don't have das, to do that, you don't need Mishnah Day Tanaim. You only need the Mishnah Day Tanaim to be tole a fully valid Maisa, done das a Kiddushin regardless of conditions, to be tole it's being chal upon some other condition, to block it, to suppress it, that's what you need Mishnah Day Tanaim for, but you don't need them just for revealing your das. Now, there are two ways you could say this, two variations of this, and Rav Chaim goes in the second one. But there are two ways you could have said this. The first way to say this is to say that there are two dinim of Tanai that are derived from the Parsha of Negad B'nei Reuven. Right? There's Tanai de Me'achshav, which is derived from the Parsha of Negad B'nei Reuven, and Tanai of Im, which is derived from the Parsha of Negad B'nei Reuven, and they differ regarding how they work. In other words, the Torah is Mechadish, that you have the ability, you're in control, you can author when this is going to be Chal and when not, but you can do that two different ways. You can either, in the case of the Tanai de Me'achshav, what you're doing is that you're defining or limiting the essential ingredient of the das for this transaction. You only want it in this case. That's what you're doing in the case of Tanai de Me'achshav. In the case of Tanai de Im, so it works differently. It's an Inyan Acher, it's Milsach Risi, as Zechron put it. Right? The act of the Kedushin is an act that you're doing for the Kedushin normally, fully, not internally limited. The Tanai of Im happens to be Mevatel, it is Tola, that Chalos upon something other than a fully executed Maisa Kedushin. But both of them are rooted in Chiddush of Bnei Parsha Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. The only thing is that Mishpatei HaTanayim themselves are only necessary for the latter. Right? You only need the Mishpatei HaTanayim if you want to be told a fully valid Maisa Kedushin upon something else other than the fully valid Maisa Kedushin. All right? You could have said that. What you actually find that in print at least, that said, this is the way I heard it also, is not that. What they're saying, this is, let's say, 1B, if you will, is that the Parsha of Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven models and introduces and illustrates in his Mechadesh one din of Tanai. There's one din of Tanai, that's a Tanai de'im, not Me'achshav. The Parsha of Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, the Halachos, the Chiddush, the whole discussion of what's going on there, has nothing to do with Tanai de Me'achshav. There is nothing that we derive from the Parsha of Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven regarding Me'achshav. It's just not discussed at all. The Chiddush, the Parsha doesn't apply there. The reason that Me'achshav is effective is not Midin, anything that we learn that we derive from Parshas Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, but we know it misvara. It's not a chiddush of Parshas Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. It's something we know misvara for more general principles concerning das. Right? The idea is that you need to have das in order for the condition to be chal. You have to want it. You have to will it. When one doesn't act al menas or on the condition me'achshav, so you simply have no das. Now here, Baruch Chaim goes a little bit further. He calls this midin tos. This is what he means. He says midin tos. The classic case of Tavos is a case of a mum de mekach, where you have some sort of crippling or a severe or serious mum, which is discovered after the mekach. Nobody would have bought it then. So the mekach in that case is batel. So Chaim, if he means this literally, that this is really midin tos, mamish, so then what he's assuming is that the din there is really just is something which is more generally applicable to any case, or any time one engages a legal act under specific pretenses that turn out to be false. That's what you have in the case of Mekach Tos. And what he's saying is, therefore, this is really a din of Mekach Tos. When you say, I'm doing this, I'm an as. That, such and such happens, and something else happens. So then there was no das. At Daita D'Hachi, you never did Kedushin. You never did Kedushin in this situation. One could certainly have been Mechalik in Mekach Tos, and we'll see eventually that some certainly were. Mechalik in Mekach Tos and what's happening in this case. But truth be told, it's not actually necessarily called Tos. The basic point is, that you're only engaged in the act of Kedushin, al das, assuming this would happen, in that case, that it doesn't happen, the Kedushin isn't fulfilled, you never had das, you never did the act of Kedushin, and therefore, it's not going to be chal. And the point being, this has nothing to do with Parshas Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. Naturally, then, if it's nothing to do with Parshas Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, you don't need it to be Kemishpatei HaTanayim. The reason you don't need Kemishpatei HaTanayim is because it's really not a Tanai. It's simply revealing what the scope of your das is in doing it. The Nakamina between these two ways of understanding it, the way that I think one could have said this, and the way that Reb Chaim and the Griz inside, they actually do say it, is whether there could be some din of Parshas Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven that actually does apply to Tanai de Me'achshav. In particular, where this comes up is the question of Milsa de'isa b'shlichus. Right, one of the Mishpatei HaTanayim, the one that has to do with the kinds of processes that are subject to Tanayim, is Milsa de'isa b'shlichus. That's a Gemara, that's a din of Chalitza Mutes, being Sheirah, and the way Rabbi Yochanan understood it is your Toleh, your Chalitza, but Tanai, so it's going to be Chalitza is going to be kept kosher regardless, even if the Tanai isn't fulfilled. Why, says the Gemara? Because this is a Milsa, why doesn't Tanai apply here? Because Milsa less of B'Shechus. So if you notice, the Gemara says, when it discussed that, the Gemara in Suvos on Ein Dalam Av happens to mention a case of Amanas. Kosher Omer lo Chalotz la Amanas Titin lach Mesayim Zuz. So that Rabbi Yochanan thinks is Sheirah. That's what Chalitza Mutes, which is Kshera, is. And the Gemara explains, why is it Kshera? Because Kol Tanai Mehecha Garminim, Tanai Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, Tanai Deshalek Kiyum Al Deshliach, Yihasa Mavet Tanai Tanai, So the question is that consistent with the shita of the Gaonim? The fact that Tanai de Me'ashav of Amanas or Me'ashav, that it's not Chal with regard to Chalitza because it's less of a Shlichus, it's not Tanai B'nei Ruben, is that consistent with the shita of the Gaonim that you don't need Mishtei Tanayim for Tanai de Me'ashav? So here you have two groups in Rishonim. Some think that it is inconsistent with it. Now, among these, those who think that it is inconsistent with Shitas HaGaonim, so you have, on the one hand, you have the Ramban, who thinks that it's inconsistent, and he uses it as a raya against the Shitas HaGaonim. You say the Gaonim, you say the Rif, you say that Tanai Me'ashav, you don't need Mishnah Tanayim. The Gemara Ksuba says that you can't be Matil Tanayim Chalitza, even a Tanai of Me'ashav, because it's not Tanai B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvin. Because it's not a process which is subject to the Chiddush of the Parsha of B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvin. Right, so this is Ramban's question, Sefer Zchus. I'm sorry, in Gittin, in the Chiddush of Gittin on Ayin Hey, should be on the base. He says, "Veshkafi nami ba'amenas to be in tonight after like you made the kaima the shliach. Lahani mishum the garmin mitnai gad the bnei gad the kaima chleitz mudis shera vehechi dami." And the Gemara says, "Go on the Amri lechalutz la'amenas tini l'mchaim zuz ulediver yerbeinu kosha ba'amenas tonal kaiyam of obviously you can tonai bnei gad. You don't need it to be tonai bnei gad over niruvin, right?" So that's the Ramban on the one hand. Again, this is within the Rishonim that held this is inconsistent. The Meiri, and I think actually the Ravid himself in the Shuvas Pesachim, they also assume that it's consistent, and what they say, therefore, is that either Lav Dafka, it's not really Amanas, it's talking about him, or the Meiri says, this is what the Meiri meant to have here, which I don't. The Meiri says, and I think the Ravid himself says this too, that's Rabbi Meir, who holds Kol Omer Amanas, Lav Kemi Omer Me'asha. It's the same problem, it's the same issue. Right there in Echinami, the Gemara says Tanai D'Amanas, it doesn't work for Chalitza, because it's less of a shlichus, but that's only because that sheet in the Gemara is assuming that Amanas is Ke'im. If you held, like we do, that Amanas is Kemei Achshav, so then in Echinami, it would apply to Chalitza. As opposed to others. Others say that, no, it's consistent with Shitas HaGaonim. I mean, they hold of Shitas HaGaonim, and they also paskin this Gemara, even though they hold Kemei Achshav Dami. The Rambam himself, Paskin's Chalitza, Chalotz La'amanas, Shatinim L'masayim, that's Kshera. The Meiri explains, this is a different day in the Meiri, gives several different options for the Gaonim, that it doesn't apply to this. That even if you hold that the Mishpatei Tanaim don't apply, that's Mishpatei Tanaim having to do with formulation, maybe having to do with content, not having to do with what processes are subject to it. And here, I guess I'll go over this point next time. And here, within the framework of Rukhani, the general direction, I think largely depends upon these two variations that I mentioned. If the Tanai de Me'ashav is also Din of Tanai, derived from the Parsha of B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvin, but it happens to be that the way it works, the Chiddush of this case of Me'ashav, is that it restricts, it defines what your Das is initially doing it. You're only doing it under these circumstances. But that it is rooted in Parsha of B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvin, Elamai, the Mishpatei Tanaim having to do with formulation, the Chizuki HaTanaim, as some Rishonim call it, those you don't need if you're just defining the internal parameters of the Maisa itself. You don't need to employ them in that case. If that's what they're saying, and that's how one could have said it, so then it makes a lot of sense to assume that okay, but then you still need to have the Parsha of B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvin applicable. Right? If the Chiddush of Parsha of B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvin wasn't said regarding such an act, then you can't do Tanai de Me'ashav either. Right? Whereas if what you're saying is that Tanai de Me'ashav isn't Midin Tanai at all, but Midin Tos, right, or something like that, you don't need the Parsha of B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvin, so then it can't be that it's going to be bound to the principle of B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvin, right? There's no reason. If the Din had nothing to do with Parsha of B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvin, so the fact that B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvin, was Isa B'Shlichla shouldn't be relevant. And then you'll have to either paskin against it, or, I guess we'll come back to this, just as a Derech Aga point, or the Rambam who paskins this, then you have to say something else and explain it some other way. Either way, I'll mention that quickly next time, and then we'll get to the major weakness of this approach, which is just explaining it, essentially. It's something which is anticipated by the Rambam, I believe, that there's a premise here that is not at all accounted for and explained. It's a very counterintuitive one, and it isn't at all clear why it should be. There's something that we're assuming is different between Im and Me'ashav here. So we'll come back to that. Next time we're in the show. Okay?